December 13th, 2023, it's a Watch from Pedro show.
Well, I've either heard the record,
supposed to be very good, but I just wouldn't like to go out and buy any recording. later, the whole record industry will have to change. Sooner or later, the whole record industry will have to change. Sooner or later, the whole record industry will have to change. Sooner or later, the whole record industry will have to change. Sooner or later, the whole record industry will have to change. Sooner or later, the whole record.
Watch for Pedro Show. Happy Wednesday. Start off John Coltrane. 1960 live excerpt, The Night Has a Thousand Eyes. Earliest recordings of the quartet. Then Ransom Salmon, Rabbit Hole. And speaking of which, we got Ransom Salmon on board right here. And, let's talk about the new record, Ransom Salmon.
Okay, let's... What's your take on it compared to the debut, the non-essential?
Well, we played, that's right, we played Ransom Salmon before, and but it's even a departure from that time around, but especially from the other incarnation.
Yes. Well, I'm not trying to
No, music, just like with painting or with language or with ceramics, you know, it's all expression, so why shouldn't it take different forms? There's no problem. I got no problem with it.
Yeah. Well, I think you had mentioned how the sound was a little more in your face, and that's kind of true. And I think part of the reason for that is that this album definitely takes a more aggressive approach in terms of my political commentary compared to the first one. On the first one, I had a little homage to Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, a little instrumental piece, one of two. And the other piece was a homage to Mike Nesmith, who unfortunately had passed away just like a month or so after the album came out, and after you and I had a discussion on the first album. But this second album, I actually changed my approach. I've written a lot of tunes even before the first album came out. And then after the first album came out, I just got into another kind of writing jag, if you want to call it that, and I was all set to release a bunch of songs I had put together, and I had envisioned that the next album was going to be called Hashtag America, and I started writing songs for that particular album, and I'm not even sure at this point what the catalyst was, but something told me that my next album should not be the album that I had worked on and was almost getting ready to wrap up. So I kind of went back to the drawing board and just started with Rabbit Hole, actually. What it was I was listening to some guitar work that I had done, and it was just, you know, me noodling, and I said, maybe I should try putting some percussion or some drum programming behind it. And that's kind of what happened initially. And then I thought about, well, how much has changed, not just in our political landscape, but just in terms of the music industry. And so, because originally Rabbit Hole was going to be kind of the typical thing where I was going to like isolate quotes about conspiracies and what have you. And then I had come across some public domain comments online, and one of them was interviewing this woman about music. And I thought it would be really kind of cool, especially considering the opinion she expressed. And I thought it would be a cool way to start. So that's why it kind of opens with the synth work, and then you hear, you know, this woman saying that she hasn't quite heard the record yet, But in any event, she wouldn't buy any recording. And to me, in a way, that kind of talks about the music business now, where it's gotten so disposable. And people expect to get their music for free. And, you know, I think that causes a lot of issues in the face of that. And before that even happened, that's where I was going with it. And then in the interim, I was following the stories of the whole brouhaha over AI technology and people augmenting other artists' voices and, you know, putting them together. And now how does the record industry deal with that? Is Taylor Swift's voice intellectual property? You know, how are the lawyers going to handle that? And I just realized, well, there you go. We've opened up a huge can of worms. Now how are we going to deal with that? So to me, that was a rabbit hole in and of itself. So that's why the focus changed when I finally recorded the piece.
All right. Look, let's listen to Strange Love Strikes Back.
What people see. situation où on voit de plus en plus de violences policières.
Je pense qu'on peut dire le mot violence policière.
Remettre en question le travail de ces agents qui sont au service de la population et de mettre une surveillance citoyenne.
A man and a woman in a suit and gown pose for a photographer in front of the river. They look as though they're dressed for a wedding. People do that. They get dressed days beforehand and pose as if it's the actual ceremony. I walk around them so as not to get in the picture. I carry shopping bags and a plastic cup with a straw. Books were in the free box outside the thrift store today. Persuasion, Vanity Fair, Long Day's Journey into Night. Now they're in the shopping bags with a bike helmet, porcelain teacups and flannel shirts. I was excited to have all this stuff until a minute ago. Until a minute ago, I felt as if I'd really scored. Here's the vectors. I step over and around them. Home is a place I can't fathom. Iron fence, river, mountains, the water shiny slick around the lighthouse. Fears are vectors. Home is a place I can't fathom. My mind can organize five or six things at once. Collecting small numbers of things gives me satisfaction. Two women in headscarves lean together talking. They glance suspiciously at me as if I'm eavesdropping. The ground is strewn with peeled white paint. Peanut shells are trampled in the dirt. Where the river bends, smog-colored clouds rise. I find an empty bench and place the shopping bags carefully on the ground so they don't tip over. My mind builds tiny spectra. Random thoughts reflect and oppose. Not long ago, I sat here wondering if we'd make it. I pictured him leaving and then it happened. Soft Spanish words of a man playing soccer with his son. Two mothers with strollers in a corner of the park smoke weed. Fears are vectors. Home is a place I despise. Happy people are intrusive. Parents, families, any person who has another. I hate them all, yet I feel dependent on them as if any chance I had for happiness rides upon their back. Happiness must exist somewhere, or it'll never exist for me. Thoughts are less fearful when they travel a distance. Crossing the river, thoughts that were large and unwieldy turn small and harmless, like scattered houses on the opposite shore. The view is in my mind. Thoughts cross the river, just like eyes and cars and feet. The house we lived in, seen from afar, wouldn't be threatening. Crossing the river, it would become one of many houses, an idea of a house. When I cross the river, the person I was will no longer exist. When I reach the mountains, the person I am now will be dead.
Thank you. This is called a sound bath. This can heal you. So everyone, let's do this together. I'm right alongside you.
Thank you. Mr. Policeman. You can strap on your fatigues, your riot gear, your rubber bullets. Just keep your fucking hands where I can see them. Text Justice 63135. No self-apologetic chat. Don't you crucify or question why you don't protect or serve. Did I touch a nerve? I'd love to change the world.
Watch for Pedro show. That chunk of music start off with Rancid Salmon doing Strange Love Strikes Again. Billions of Comrades, brand new from them out of Belgium. Scab Alo Pam. Snore, Florida, Too Much. Nod reissued their first vinyl, the first record on vinyl. Feed Two Records. This Feels So Wrong, number two. Passerella with Inquieto. Sky Furrows, Shopping Bags, Wolf Eyes, Dream and Shattered Time, Guided by Voices, Awake Man. The Awake Man, it's a noun, what? Or maybe it is a directive kind of thing. Huh?
Yeah. I actually heard some tracks from the new GBV album.
Well, I think this is the one before, because he's just got a new one. This guy every other month.
Bob Holland, I was going to say, there should be a Guided by Voices album of the month club.
Yeah, pert near, or every other month at least. Many Mutations with Nighttime Control, and finally, Ransom Salmon. Now, this has got an explicit warning, people. A hymn to peaceful protest. Maybe it isn't a warning.
It's interesting because unless you go to the Bandcamp site, you won't get the backstory, even though it's kind of available, you know, everywhere as an album. So what happened was I had seen, there's a documentary, and I can't think of who was behind it, but if you go on the Bandcamp page, there's a link to it. And the documentary was called Whose Streets, and it was about, Ferguson, Missouri, and how unrest kind of unraveled there following the untimely death of Michael Brown at the hands of cops. And then that kind of conflagrated into a whole police versus citizens issue, and how that kind of got out of control and erupted in days of violence that were sort of similar to what went down in Watts in the 60s. And so I wanted to write something about that specifically. Then as I was getting ready, as I was in the process of writing that piece, I was also kind of checking in on the news, and stories were kind of starting to dribble out about what happened on January 6th. And the first aha moment I had was that in both instances, the media pretty much commandeered the narrative. And there was a lot that we were told that wasn't exactly true. And I found a lot more parallels between Jan 6 and the Ferguson situation. And I wanted to write a song to kind of bring those viewpoints together, because, again, part of our society, or what hand the media has in it, we like to polarize people. So it's always black versus white, gay versus straight, Jew versus Palestinian, and there's no middle ground for dialogue. And, I've heard people who defend the people who I believe were political prisoners and did get incarcerated without due process, and they would, look to themselves and say, hey, why are we being jailed, and all these people who burn cars and threw rocks at cops in Ferguson, haven't spent a day in jail. And it just occurred to me that while that point might be valid, it's also a very effective tool to polarize. And I think we have more than enough polarization going on to begin with. And I think it's not exactly improved in the interim between my debut album and the sophomore release. So I wanted to basically say these both started off as peaceful protests, and I wonder how much of unseen forces and media propaganda turned it into the malaise that they both were eventually labeled as, because I think it was about peaceful protest. And I think we're at it seems like the tide is turning where even in our own country, dissenting opinions are looked upon as dangerous. I mean, I touched upon that lightly on the first album with Nihilism is Trending on Twitter, because I saw how Twitter was kind of becoming the social media lynch mob, and a lot of people's lives were destroyed because of misconceptions or people getting easily offended and then using their power through that social media platform to basically castigate people and ostracize them. And I wasn't too pleased with that. And things haven't gotten much better, sadly, in my opinion, which is one of the things that compelled me to change the whole vibe of the album and talk about current events and how they impact me or how I feel impacted by them, which is why the album is called Conflict and Resolution. So I kind of wanted it to be, you know, show both sides, you know, bring up the things that I think are wrong, but also try to be somewhat hopeful in terms of resolving that. But people have to realize what's going on first, if things are going to get better.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And you got to be inspired, right? Or you're just going through the motions when you're making songs. I want to get into your songwriting process, but we're at the end of the first hour. December 13, 2023 edition of Wild Pedro Show. Special guest, Ransom Salmon. Hold tight for hour two. December 13, 2023. It's the second hour of the Wild Pedro Show.
Streets. Is it getting better? Is it getting better? Is it getting better? Or is everything the same? Yes, it's getting better. It's getting better all the time. Is our democracy another movable feast? Have we landed inside the belly of the beast? When does it cease? Lord, grant me peace. The machinations of folks.
the day. And every conflict should have some resolution at the end of the day. And every conflict should have some resolution today. Every conflict should have some resolution at the end of the day, at the end of the day, at the end of the day, at the end of the day.
Watch for Pedro Show, start off second hour, Ransom Salmon, Urban Contemporary. And brand new from Michelle Christophe, Jerome, Glaugane, Fabian Robe, Trio, Boogie Pig. I haven't seen or heard a song called that in a while. Shen Morimoto and Kaino with Lost It, Trying. Parentheses Rise. This is from that Welcome to Gaza benefit comp that Randolph, Eugene, Graham, and England helped get together. Finally, Ransom Salmon, Conflict to Resolution. This is the title track of the album.
Indeed.
Okay, your process. Do you make demos?
I do.
Because you were saying something about noodling around on the guitar. So you got like a tape recorder going?
No, I do everything through a audio interface directly into the computer.
Okay.
So I've got some MIDI keyboards that I use as controllers. I have a jam stick, which is sort of a controller, but you can play it like a guitar, and I tend to do that. And then I go into software workstations to kind of put everything together. So there's a lot of things. When I had said that, what I meant was there are some things I've been writing songs for a lot longer than I've been releasing them. But I continue to write more things. And sometimes they begin as just like little instrumental sketches, and I just put them away. And then sometimes they may become songs, sometimes they may not. And it just depends. But with this album, they actually kind of came together. Most of the time, they were simultaneous. It wasn't a matter of what I generally do, which is I'm inspired, and as somebody who, you know, used to write poetry back in the day, the words come first, and then the words kind of inspire me in terms of what musical backdrop should happen. But on this album, it was almost hand to hand. Like, I would start with a musical idea, and the lyrics would come to me, and as I refined the stem tracks to it, or the backing tracks to it, it also inspired the lyrics. So they kind of worked more symbiotically on this one than the first one. And I also wanted it to be more, as you said in your face before, I wanted it to be more urgent, but I also wanted it musically to be very strong. And so there's a little bit more eclecticism. Like the first album, I would consider it pop protest songs. And I think on this album, I got a little harder edge to it. In some aspects, I feel like it was inspired by, you know, folks like Radiohead in terms of just putting some weird electronic stuff behind guitars. And in other things, it was kind of more like for a signpost, vintage Beck, you know, sort of like circa Odelay, where, you know, you've got this grab bag of different genres and things being thrown together. But I didn't want to make it quite that far out. I wanted to make the sounds more accessible. And so, for instance, with Urban Contemporary, I knew that I wanted it to sort of have a kind of a hippish, Beckish vibe, and that's where I was going with that. And I did a demo of that, and I sent the demo to my dear friend Sarah Siminski, who is an incredible singer and good friend. And I said, take a listen to this demo. Tell me if you might be interested in possibly singing the lead. And she messaged me back, and she said, you know, fantastic. I love this tune. I would love to sing on it. And then my friend Andy Gerard, because she lives in Massachusetts, and so does my friend Andy. And Andy Gerard worked with me on the first album a little bit. I got him to actually do the recording of her vocals, whereas most of the, or all of the other vocals actually, were done here in upstate New York by my friend Randall Mulder. And then I put it together, but all of the stuff was initially instrumentally recorded here, with the exception of Sarah's vocal and Andy providing some bass and guitar to a little piece called Binky's Dilemma.
Binky's Dilemma. I want to play that next. Let's listen. I'm going to go to the hospital.
me, because I won't follow. Don't pity me, you beautiful bastard boy. Why can't you see the forest for the trees? I've seen through your disguise. Don't patronize, I know the truth from lies. You should realize there's war over your eyes. Don't compromise, it's time that you got wise, 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 wise.
Wapra Pedro Show, this chunk of music you just heard start off with Ransom Salmon doing Binky's Dilemma. Then we had Post-Home Humus Jazz. This is from the Difficult Music people in Eugene. Side 11 excerpt, and then finally David Gerard with When Bent Creek. So Binky's Dilemma. I mean, you said you were trying to do this thing where you're trying to be accessible, but at the same time kind of aloof. That's kind of a dilemma, right?
Yes, I guess it is. And the backstory behind this song, which thankfully it's a lot shorter, is that this one actually, the title came to me. And when it came to me, the title came before I even wrote any words to it. And then I realized that for some strange reason, the title came to me because part of my brain said, now, I happen to be a huge, you know, I'm a child of the 60s, so I definitely love a lot of 60s stuff, especially the psychedelic stuff, but also some of the great pop stuff. And one of my favorite albums of that era is Simon and Garfunkel's Bookends. And on that album, there's a piece called Punky's Dilemma, which is a cute kind of, you know, it's innocuous. And I said, you know what? I want to write almost not quite a counterpoint to it, but I want to write a really pissed off political song and give it a perky title like Binky's Dilemma. So that's how that started, with just the title. And then thoughts just got to my mind as I'm, you know, ranting mentally. And I thought, well, I'm going to start with the refrain, "Don't Pity Me." And then I'm going to just go from there. And I started writing those lyrics. You know, I know what is real. Don't pity me with novena prayers. Don't, you know, don't patronize me. Because I felt like these are all the things I would want to express. So let me do it in this really hard-edged type of tune, with, again, kind of doing the Radiohead-ish weird stuff going on with synthesizers, but also Andy Gerard's great bass and guitar on there, which for me gave it a kind of a U2-ish edge, which was perfect for me, because I feel like U2 hasn't done a real political song since Desire on Rattle and Hum. So I kind of wanted to give that familiarity, and I think Andy did a good job on that. And then I also wanted to give props to Dean Friedman, because Dean Friedman has a song on his second album called Shopping Bag Ladies, and he made a reference to a beautiful bastard boy. And I said I want to include that. So I just kind of, you know, interpolated that line with the other lines, and I gave him props on the liner notes, which is a lot different than Bob Dylan just blatantly plagiarizing, you know, a Japanese poet on Love and Theft. And it's amazing that an album that has been exposed for being blatantly plagiaristic still manages to be on Rolling Stone's list of the best albums of all time. So
that shows the go. Yeah, I mean, look, you know, Kool-Aid Chuggers, right? We're at the end of the second hour, Ransom Sam. December 13, 2023 edition, Watt Pedro Shows. Hold tight for hour three. December 13, 2023, it's the third hour, Watt for Pedro Show.
Thank you. walk between the raindrops.
Oh, this girl.
Walk for Pedro show. Start off second hour. We got some David Gerard here with Webb's theme. Then Louis Ray Camerata with The Girl's Got Murder on Her Mind. Did live. Getting back. Averting Our Gaze from the Problems We Created. That's a title. And then David Gerard again with Voila. So, how long did it take to do the second Ransom Salmon album?
It actually took less time to actually pull the actual writing together, but it took longer than I had anticipated in terms of polishing things up and then the remaster, because it was there, but some, you know, I wasn't 100% satisfied. And the changes that I made from like the original pre-master were really kind of minor, you know, and I don't pretend to be one of these anal retentive perfectionists, but I just was like, something's missing from a couple of these tracks, and I wanted to go back and do that. And then I also wanted to include the bonus track of Hail to the Thief 2, but make it exclusive to the Bandcamp version of the album.
Yeah, that's going to be the last track today.
Yeah. So, also, I wanted to say, getting back to Urban Contemporary, one of the other things that is interesting about what I did with that song was, despite the fact that it's already very political, as you know from the lyrics, and that's how it actually, that was the demo. And so she came in and sang, and then I was inspired in the end. There's a reprise at the end of the tune where you've sort of got this Stereo Lab-ish thing going on with the background track and this woman named Loco Vox, you know, doing this whole thing, which I think sounds very Urban Contemporary. So I wanted to throw that on there. But the other interesting thing about the reprise is, so you have this woman who's kind of doing her little riffing on it lyrically, and you have this musical backdrop, which also has sax, as the first part of the song does. The musical backdrop for the reprise, or reprise, was written completely with an AI software program. And I thought it would be really interesting to contrast the orthodox recording techniques on, you know, on the song as a whole with this reprise that, you know, has this AI-generated backdrop. Because that's been the issue, again, about AI and what, how is it going to impact music, you know, if people use AI. Does it mean anybody can write a tune, that, or does it mean the quality of what's coming out has sort of, the bar has been lowered for it because AI makes it easy for lazy but uncreative people to put something together? And that's a question to which I don't have an answer, but I think the question should be asked.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're also asking something about authenticity.
Yes.
What is authentic? Here, let's hear some more. We got another David Gerard song. Let's listen. Watch for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Dave Girard with Catacombs. I don't know how to pronounce this, S-U-F-R-D. It's from that Welcome to Gaza benefit comp. Ordinary People's the title. Finally, Ransom Salmon with Hail to the Thief. The Selway mix. Yeah. So.
That's Hail to the Thief 2 now.
Yeah, Hail to the Thief 2. Sorry about that.
I don't want Radiohead coming after me because didn't mention that it was 2.
Absolutely. And have you been doing any of these tunes live in front of people? Or are they just recorded babies?
You know what? I haven't. And I also have been remiss that I have not done at least a video for one of the tunes. I did do 2 videos for the first album. And at some point, I will definitely release a video when I narrow it down to which tune I want to do it for. And we'll see. I might work with my same friend Anthony Salamone, who was a director for the videos I did off the first album, which you can find on Vimeo, I believe. I was going to say Rumble. It's not on Rumble. But Vimeo. Because, you know, I think sometimes my video content is such that, you know, I don't want to deal with YouTube, who may or may not decide that it can be shown. So I've gone on the alternate site. So, but if they go to my Bandcamp, Ransom Sound site, they can, there's some links to where they can find the video. So we'll see. I want to definitely do a new one.
Ransom Salmon, URL for the Ransom Salmon website, please.
Well, it's ransomsalmon.bandcamp.com.
Okay, we got it, people. Go there, check it out, .com. And yes, a lot of good stuff there. What's next besides the video? You said you wrote a lot. You said you wrote more than you actually put on the record. Is that going to see the light of day?
Well, I hopefully, the songs that I put together for hashtag America, I hope, will be. And knowing my restlessness, I'm sure that a lot of the tunes that won't appear on album propers will pop up as single releases. In all honesty, I've probably written enough material now that if I had people come in and, you know, lay down vocals or work with me on it, it would probably be a career discography, because there are literally hundreds of tunes that I've written. And I'm also surprised that I'm still inspired to write other things. I think the creative part of me, of course, does that naturally. But one of the things I was thinking about when I wrapped this album together is, because it's so heavy, how does it get heard? I mean, I'm so grateful to have this forum to have the album played, but, you know, I'm an indie self-produced artist. I don't have even an indie label or representation behind it. And so who gets to hear these tunes? And I was thinking of Charlotte Gainsbourg on her album 555. She has a piece called Songs That We Sing. And, you know, the whole motto or moral of that tune is, do the songs that we sing mean anything to the people we're singing them to? So part of me in a, you know, more sanguine moment was like, I don't know. I may say this is it, even though I've gotten this whole chest full of other tunes. It's like, these are the 2 albums. I can't make a dent, you know, even a marginal dent in the consciousness of people, then, you know, I'm going to just pack it in, you know, and do I don't know what. So I say that in all cynicism while I'm still writing new songs. So,
right. And there is this hashtag America thing.
That has
to be realized.
Yeah. And it's like, you know what? You know, there's a thing that says that sometimes our problem, you know, individually isn't that we have too high expectations, it's that our expectations are too low. I mean, I would be happy to not necessarily get the same notoriety or even press, but I mean, I think about you, for an example. You know, between the Minutemen fire hose stuff and your solo albums, I mean, you're out there. You know, you've got your legacy is out there. Most people know who you are. Certainly people know who you are within the industry. And I would just like some frickin' break that someone listening somewhere acknowledges that, because I feel that it's important for what I'm doing to be heard, and just to be heard more than by a handful of people. I just feel like the potential is there, and I think now is the time for artists to be more outspoken.
Of course. I think this has always been a problem. Look at Vincent. He sold only one painting. Now his paintings go for more money than anybody.
I know, but I don't want to cut my hair off.
Yeah. I'm not saying you got to do that. I'm just using his life as an example, how this man worked at his art, and no one would reward him until he was gone.
And the other thing is that we're in this age where, you know, outrageousness and spectacle overshadows everything. Yeah. So it's like, if I really wanted to be, you know, if I really wanted the fame, you know, I got to do something like hold up a gas station or streak through a playground naked.
A ransom salmon. As soon as you get something new, please bring it and I'll get it to people's ears. The invite's out. Okay.
I'll do that.
It's been the December 13th, 2023 edition of Walk Pedro Show. Hey, I got one more week as a 65-year-old. Keep your powder dry.